And do I need to do anything to turn it on?
It's already going.
Already going. Okay. Okay, this is going to be on yesterday's parsha. I always go back just to hold into the flavor of Shabbos on yesterday's parsha. But this topic of tonight is going to be Eliezer Eved Avraham, the story of Eliezer, getting a glimpse into the character of Eliezer and some incidents which take place regarding him. Start from a Rashi. Not sure if it's. I never want to use the words well known or not well known because maybe those who do know and those who don't know. But there's a Rashi in this week's parsha on the pasuk. Source number one. Eliezer comes to the house of Rivka and her parents, and he tells over the story how Avram had sent him to find a wife for Yitzhak. And he recounts how he said to Avram, well, what will be if I go to the land of Haran and the woman who I find that doesn't want to come back with me? What's going to be if she won't come back? The way that that's described in the Chumash is ulai lo selecha isha acharai. And you notice the word ulai is spelled without a vav. So Rashi comments that the word ulai can be written or spelled in two ways. Says Rashi, again, at the end of source number one, ulai lo selecha isha elai. You can read this as if Eliezer said to me, so that he's telling Lavan, I said to Avram, maybe the woman won't want to come, and my intention really was, and if the woman who I find won't come to marry Yitzhak, maybe I'll have somebody instead, says Rashi. Bas, hoyas alo Eliezer. Eliezer himself had a daughter. And Eliezer was trying to find a way in that he could really marry his daughter off to Yitzchak instead of the woman whom he was supposed to find in the land of Haran. So Avram says to Eliezer, listen, a nice thought, but you should know my son is Baruch, my son is blessed, you, Eliezer, are cursed. Eliezer descended from Canaan, who Noah, a couple weeks back, cursed his son Ham and his descendant Canaan for the incident which took place when Noah became a little bit drunk and he walked in on him when he was uncovered. So Avram says, I'm sorry, Eliezer, I can't marry off my daughter. My son is Baruch, he's blessed. Your daughter is cursed. And Ein Baruch Mistabek Bracha and Klala, blessings, they can't mix. So my son can never marry your daughter. That's the story that Rashi brings down in Chumash, that Eliezer, the whole time that he was going to find a wife for Yitzhak, really was in the back of his mind thinking, it would be nice if I could marry him off to my own daughter. And Avram says to him, nothing doing, my friend. You are cursed. I am blessed. The two, never the twain shall meet. That's the Rashi. Now, I've heard this before many over the years, and I always sort of understood it to be a simple kind of, one of the village dwellers trying to marry the king's daughter. Like a nice thought, Eliezer thought that he was a servant of Avram, he was sent with a mission, and he was sort of hoping, maybe I'll be able to marry my own daughter off to Avram. And Avram says, nothing happening. And what I'd like to show you tonight is that there's a lot greater depth to this little transaction, this interaction, so to speak, between Avram and Eliezer than meets the eye, and to understand a glimpse into what Chazal are telling us was the response of Avraham, that my son can never marry your daughter because I am blessed and you are cursed. And what I'd like to start from is an understanding of the person of Eliezer. Eliezer was a servant of Avram, and you sort of get the picture of as simply a servant, someone who, he was a servant. And what right would he have ever even to thought that he can marry off his daughter to the son of Avram Avinu, to Yitzhak? I'd like to show you what Chazal understood about the person of Eliezer, the servant of Avram. The first time, of course, that we're introduced to Eliezer is in the battle of the four kings and the five kings, where Avram goes out to war to fight against the four kings who had already defeated the five kings to save Lot, his nephew. And the pasuk says that he took... Chazal understood that he took to war with him only Eliezer. Eliezer was the one person with whom he went to war and was miraculously able to defeat the four kings. So Chazal have a lot to say about Eliezer. Look at number two. This is the description, the initial description of Eliezer in this week's parsha. Vayomer Avraham el Avdo. Avram says to his servant Zakein Beso, so to speak, the elder of his home, Hamoshel v'chol asher lo, who rules over everything that he has. That's the description the Torah gives of Eliezer. Zakein Beiso, the elder of his home, who rules over everything that Avraham has. Says the Gemara in Yuma, number 3. Gemara makes the following drasha. Yimeihem shel avoseinu lo parsha yeshiva mehem. So the Gemara goes into a drasha that the avos always were learning in yeshiva. The Gemara goes through, Avram had a yeshiva, Yitzchak had a yeshiva, Yaakov had a yeshiva, in Mitzrayim they had a yeshiva, in the desert they had a yeshiva, a whole long Gemara going through every stage of Jewish history, and they always had a yeshiva. And in the midst of that, it throws in Eliezer, the second line, just skipping a line, Eliezer, Eved Avram, Zakein, Vyoshev, Yeshiva. Eliezer also was part of that link. All the others had their yeshiva, and Eliezer also spent his entire day sitting and learning in the yeshiva. Amar Rebbe Elazar, we're skipping another half line in the sources. What does it mean? Hamosha b'chol asher lo, shemosha b'toras rabo. Eliezer ruled over the Torah of Avraham Avinu. He was the person in charge of Avraham Avinu's Torah. You can imagine Avraham was quite a teacher. He was the person who taught the whole world at the time. Who was his second in command? Who ruled over, so to speak? Who had total jurisdiction over all that he had been teaching? Eliezer. Who domestic Eliezer, quoting another pasuk, Amar Rav Elazar, Shedoyle umashka mitayroso shorabul achayim. He used to dip into the Torah of Avram and spread it and pour it over everybody else. So that Chazal understood Eliezer was the Talmud, the student of Avram Avinu. He was the one entirely in control of everything that Avram had taught. He was the guy to go to. Who then dipped into the wellsprings of Avraham's knowledge and poured that knowledge out over the rest of the world? That was Eliezer. So much so, if you look at source number 3, Vayomer Avraham, the Gemara, this is a Medrash Rabbah, Vayomer Avraham el avdo zakein beiso, shayaziv ikunin shelo doimelo. His facial appearance was similar to that of Avram. Now, that doesn't mean his physical appearance, his nose and his eyes and his forehead. It means the ha'aras panim, the expression given out, the light, the, you look at a person and you see their stature. Chazal understood if you looked at Eliezer, you saw the stature of Avram Avinu, like looking in a mirror. This was a person who gathered and gained and gleaned every single ounce of knowledge from Avram Avinu. He was Moshel Vakol, he ruled over it all. He was in charge of spreading that. His appearance was such that you saw the light that shone from Avraham's face. You saw that in Eliezer's face. Continues the Medrash, HaMoshel B'chol HaShalot, and he ruled in his house. Shayashalit b'yitzro kimoso. He ruled over his own Yetzer Hara the same way Avram Avinu did. Just like Avraham had achieved such a level where he had just risen, climbed that spiritual ladder, so too had Eliezer reached those same heights. This is the person of Eliezer. So I think already here, if you have that understanding that Chazal had of the person of Eliezer, this wasn't just your servant. You think back to some plantation, the person who brought him water. This was a person who sat at his feet, who gleaned every ounce of knowledge that he could, was in charge of passing that knowledge on to others, had achieved that spiritual stature. And then you go back to that first Rashi and you say, you know what, Eliezer is thinking in the back of his mind, you know, maybe my daughter should marry really the son of Yitzchak. Why am I looking over here in Haran? I got a daughter. You know, a little bit of a different question when Eliezer has that thought. Not a bad thought. This is probably the second greatest person living at the time. And I'd like to take it a little bit further. When Avram sent Eliezer to look for a wife, this is something I just learned this Shabbos for the first time. I integrated this into this. This is a fascinating study in the Pesukim. I'd like to take you through a couple Pesukim about the discussion that Avram has with Eliezer and then put it back into the context of what we're talking about. If you look at number 5, I brought here maybe 4 or 5 psukim from the beginning of the parasha, and I have underlined 3 phrases which I want to go through. I don't know if there are enough sheets, but we just have to look on with... There are 3 phrases which I have underlined which are troublesome in the psukim, and we'll go through the 3 phrases. Pasuk Gimel, the beginning of the story. Va'ashpiyacha ba'Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Ha'aret. Hashem, sorry, Avraham has Eliezer take a shvuah. Makes him swear, Asher lo tikach isha livni mibnos haKnani, do not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Knan, Asher anoch yoshev bekirbo, from whom I dwell in their midst. What's the problem with that last phrase, Asher anoch yoshev bekirbo? He was living in Canaan at the time. We'll work through the pasuk here. Who did he not want him to marry? Lo tikach isha livni mibnos haKnaani. Do not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Who are those women? The women who live in Canaan. Whom I dwell in their midst. Who cares that you dwell in their midst? You have a problem. You don't want Yitzchak marrying a woman from that region. Why does he have to say, and I dwell in their midst? To say, I don't want my son marrying a woman from this region. Go elsewhere. So Avram says this extra phrase, question number one we'll call it, not only do I not want you taking a wife from the Benos of Canaan, but I'm going to add, from whom I dwell in their midst. Okay, we'll leave it at that. He's close to him. He continues off in Pasuk Dalet. Where should you go? Ki el arshi, the el noladati teleth. Go to my land and to my birthplace. What's the problem with that? Same basic problem. That same place. Go to my land. What does my land mean? And what is my birthplace? Isn't it the same place? So Avram says, don't take from Canaan, whom I dwell in their midst. Where should you go? To my land and to my birthplace. That's where you should go to take a wife for my son Yitzchak. Story continues. We'll skip all the way down to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches is now discussing Eliezer in the course of this conversation says, and what should I do if she won't come? So Avram responds, Pasuk Ches, v'im lo soiva ha'isha lolechas acharecha, if she won't come with you, v'nakisa mishvuasi, you are cleansed from this vow. You have taken an oath right now that you will only go to my land and my birthplace. If you find a woman and she won't come back, you are clean from this shvua. Just don't take my son over there, but you are clean from this shvua. That's what Avram says. So let's start with question number one was, why do we have the double lashon of don't take from the Benos Canaan from whom I dwell in their midst? Question number two, why does he say go to my land and to my birthplace? And let's start with question number three, will be this last underline. What would be the implication of the Nekisa Mishvua? You are cleansed from this vow. Where should Eliezer now go? That's your pasuk. The pasuk says, you are cleansed from this oath. You're clear. Where should Eliezer now go to find a wife?
Wherever
he wants. I made you take a Shvua. Don't stay here in the land of Canaan. Go over there. If she won't come with you, you're clean. V'nakisa mishvuasi. So it should mean you're free to do as you want. Let's look at Rashi, number 6. What does Rashi say on the phrase, v'nakisa mishvuasi, you are cleansed from this vow? V'kach lo isha mibnos aner eshkol umamre. But you have to still take a wife from aner eshkol umamre. Who are they? So I just brought parenthetically number 7, back from Parshas Lech Lecha. When Lot was taken captive, the pasuk describes Vayavo haPalit, he who had survived the war, came Vayage laAvram haIvri v'hu shachem ve'elonei Mamre. He was living in the plains of Mamre, haEmori Achi Eshkol, the brother of Eshkol, Achi Aner v'hem Bali Brith Avram. So these three characters, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, dwelled in the land of Canaan, and they had made a covenant with Avram. He lived in their midst; everything was good. Those three characters are. So says Rashi, what does it mean you're cleansed from the oath? And now you have to go specifically to those three, Aner, Eshkol, Umamre. Obvious question, why isn't the phrase you're cleansed from the shvua exactly like you would have thought it was? You're free. Where did Rashi see that if you can't find a woman from over there, from my relatives, so then you have to go specifically to these women who are also part of Canaan? The initial shvua was you can't take from Canaan. Now you went out, you couldn't find her. So you are allowed to go back to Canaan, but only to specific members of Canaan. How did that happen? Says the Maharal, number 8. Says the Maharal, Ki acher sheashvua haisal benos Canaan. Let me say it outside first. Says the Maharal, that question number 1 which we asked, there was a double lashon in the first pasuk. He said, Avram said, do not take a wife from mibnos haKnaani, don't take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, asher anochi yoshev zekirbo, from whom I dwell in their midst. Says the Maharal, Rashi understood that phrase was extra. And it was coming to say, specifically to include these three people of Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, don't even take a wife from the people from whom in their midst I dwell. Why am I specifying them? To tell you that if you can't find a wife elsewhere, they are the only ones from whom I'm cleansing you of the Shvua. As an introduction, let's read it inside. Number 8. Since the Shvua already was on all the women who lived in Canaan, you didn't have to then say, these are the women in whose midst I dwell. Of course, everyone who lives in the land of Canaan is forbidden. This is specifically telling us these three people. Avram Yoshev Zekiro. Avram specifically lived in their little neighborhood. So says the Maral, V'gam aleyem ishviyu shlo yikachisha livno, afal gav shehim ksherim. Those three families were tzaddikim. They were righteous individuals. They lived with Avram Avinu. They learned from him. They got it. So Avram Avinu made the following shvua to Eliezer. He said, swear to me you won't take from the entire land of Canaan, and you also won't even take from these three families in whose midst I dwell. Why did Avram say it in such a manner? So that when he starts peeling away the shvua, and he says, and if you go there and you can't find her, now what should you do? You still can't take from the whole land of Canaan, but I will permit you then to take from my specific neighborhood. So that Avram Avinu created two levels now in his request to find a wife. Level number one is, go to Haran, go to where I'm from, find a wife from there, because you can't get one from Canaan. If you can't get one to come back with you from Haran, then you can go to my specific neighborhood, the people of Aner, Eshkol, Umamre. They you can take from, even though they are from Canaan.
So where does Eliezer's family fit into this level?
That's the topic we're getting at.
Okay.
That's exactly where we're getting at. Yeah. Well, that was the first Rashi that we mentioned. Rashi, Eliezer said, I want my daughter to marry Yitzhak, and Avram says, you can't. I'm setting up why that, let's look into that conversation that took place between Eliezer and Avram. So right now, the way the Maral understood from Rashi, the extra phrase of the Torah of Asher Anoch Yoshev Zekirbo is that he was setting up two tiers. All of Canaan is always out. Ideally, you have to go to Haran, my birthplace. If you can't get a woman to come back with you, then you can go back to Canaan, but only specifically my birthplace. Is that clear? Quizzical looks?
Just a little question.
Yeah.
If he's going local already, why can't he do the job? I mean, I can understand how
okay.
It's been a long
way. That's a valid question. I don't have an answer. That's a good question. There is an answer. That's not for tonight.
Okay.
Okay, everything would be fine except for number 9. You flip your page. Number 9 is coming in the middle of Eliezer's discussion with the Suel and family. And Eliezer sits down, he gets there, and he says, they ask him to invite him to a meal, and he says, I don't want to eat until we have this discussion. I want to know whether or not you're going to send your daughter Rivka back to Yitzhak with me. And the way that he says that was, V'ata im yeshchem osim chesed ve'emes es adoni, higiduli, if you're going to do chesed ve'emes with my master Avram, tell me. V'im lo, but I need to know. Because if you're not going to send Rivka, I got a job to do. I can't sit here schmoozing, having a nice, being wined and dined. I have a mission. Give me your daughter and I'm out of here. Or tell me you're not going to give me your daughter and I'm out of here. So tell me up front what's going on. So says Eliezer in the Pasuk, V'imlo higidui, tell me, V'efne al yamin o al smol. Says Eliezer, I will then turn, if you say no, to my right, to my left. It's a funny thing to say. What should he have said? I'm leaving. If you're going to tell me no, and this is the family to whom I have to go to, so then I got to go back to Aner Eshkol Amamle, like Avram told me to do. So what does it mean? I'm going to go to my right, I'm going to go to my left. So says Rashi, number 10, Al Yamin mi Benosi Shmuel. If you say no, I'm going to go either to the Benosi Shmuel, Al Smol mi Benos Lot, Shaya Yoshev L'Smol Osho Avram. That's odd. So Eliezer was given the following instructions, as we understand them right now. Go to Haran to my family. If you can't get from my family, you are allowed to come back to Canaan, but only specifically these three families. Eliezer goes and he tells the Suel, if you tell me no, well then I'm going to Yishmael and to Lot. Can I miss something? Who's Yishmael and Lot? You were supposed to go to them, and they said no, you go back here. And Eliezer throws in, according to Rashi, and if you say no, I'm heading to the right, to the left. I'm going to Yishmael to Lot. Where did they come from?
Oh, what happened?
Politics. They are Avram's family. So says the Maral again, number 11. The Nir Loimar, this is question number 2 that we had asked. Remember, Avram said 2 things. Where should Eliezer go? El Arti, the El Moladati. Go to my land and to my birthplace and to from the family from whom I came. Says Maral, ideally you should get both, my birthplace and my family. That would be the Suel and Rivka. But if you can't get both, you can't get my land and my family, at least you can get my family. That's what the Maral explains. The Nir Loimar Kimifnesha Oma Lamala Shiikach Lawisha Mimo Ladito. At least he said he wanted also from the place from where he was born. Yishmo Velot, Gamkein Mimo Ladito. They're from the same family that he was born from. The Amnam Yelech Tchila. So now we're setting up 3 levels. First, you got to go to Nochor because that's both my land and the family from which I was born. Nimishpachas Nochor Arto Umoladita, which has both. V'imlo yitenlo, as yifne al yaminu al smol. If they won't give it to you, then I'll go to my right or to my left. The ha'ika chazo, the ha'ina moladito. And then, if you can't get them, then you go back to Canaan, and you take from the immediate family of Aner, Eshkol, Amre. So, sof kol sof, big chiddush, I never do this before. There were actually 3 levels that Avraham delineated in his request of Eliezer to find a wife. First, you go to Nochor, to Haran, to my family and my birth land. If you can't get both my birth land and my birth family, at least get my birth family of Yishmael and Lot. And if you can't even get that, then you can go back to Canaan, but from the specific area of Aner Eshkol Umamre, who were the Bali Bris. Now, let's go back to Eliezer's request. Eliezer is thinking, now his head is spinning. So if I can't get from the family, I go to Lod, I go to Yishmael. If I can't, then I can go back to Canaan. At this point, expect Eliezer Akasha, you're at least sending me back to Canaan, right? So you told me initially, don't go to Canaan. I'm from Canaan, I'm out. So he said, you want your family? Great, I understand. Family comes first. And if you can't get family in birthplace, at least get family. I'm okay with that. But then you put in a 3rd level, and you said, if you can't get anyone from my family, come back to Canaan. Even though Canaan was initially out, they were part of the curse that Noah had given to them. Come back to Canaan. This family you can take. Now you go back to Eliezer's question. Eliezer says, I'm the Gadol HaDor next to you. I have been your Talmud. I have the same appearance. I glow with the same light of Torah that you do. I am in charge of teaching everybody. I have gained everything from you. You're sending him back to Canaan. Let me marry my daughter off to your son. What can be a better shidduch than that? That's a much stronger question than what I had always viewed, sort of this like pauper dreaming about, wow, maybe my daughter will marry the prince. This isn't just like a pipe dream of Eliezer the servant who, like, you'd think, like, what were you thinking when you asked that? What was in your mind? No, Eliezer had good reason to think that he should be entitled to marry his daughter off to Avram's son. Number one, he's the biggest Talmud Chacham that exists in the world at that time, other than Yitzchak and Avram themselves. And you're allowing him to marry a girl from Canaan anyway. You put that into the equation that if you can't find anybody, Canaan is going to get back in, so let me in. And Avram says to him, no, you are cursed. My son is blessed. Curses and blessings never get together. You're out. You have a question.
Lot and Yishmael, I mean, we've heard all around the last 3 questions about how terrible they all are.
But they weren't cursed. Now, this is the question that I'm asking. So Avram is, that's exactly the question that you're bringing it out. So what is it that Avram would rather have his son with Lot or Yishmael? He'd rather have his son from Canaan, as long as it was from Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, somehow they were B'nai Bris with Avram. But Eliezer, who is part of this Kala, who is his Talmud, who has been Daila Umashka, he dips his into the wellspring of Avram's knowledge and spreads it everywhere, you're out. I can't be with you because you're cursed. More than everybody else? What does that mean? What was Avram so afraid of? Why was it so clear that Eliezer is not allowed in any way, shape, or form? He's out. Can't get in any way. That would be the question. So now I'll ask this question. You don't buy into the question yet. The question?
No, I don't know. Who is Eliezer's wife? Is he relevant to this?
Good question. I have no idea.
Apparently,
first
of
all. Apparently.
By marriage.
By marriage. Yeah.
I
did see someone who addresses that. I don't know how it's going to relate to this particular discussion, but I did see someone. In the same for my Rosh, this is primarily based on my Rosh Hashiva Chaim Yaakov Goldsmith, but he has a different piece in which he talks about that pasuk. I could look into it, but I don't know. It's a good hara.
Somehow these three families that are in Canaan, if Eliezer is still cursed, then it seems that these three families are not.
Oh, that's Morale's question. What happened here? That's exactly what I want to talk about right now. So what's with these three families? I mean, where did the curse come from? The curse came from when Noah's son Ham saw Noah and his disgrace, and he did nothing about it. So Noah curses Ham Avi Canaan. He curses Ham, the father of Canaan. Eved Avadim Yiyu La'achecha. You'll be a servant to your sons, to your brothers. So he's cursed with servitude. So all of Canaan was cursed with servitude. So why did Avram permit his son to be married to a girl from these three families? And Eliezer is still out. He's in the parsha. He's still considered cursed. So that's the morale that I want to do number 12. That's the morale that asks this question. Says morale, Umashu Hursha likach mi b'nos Canaan, v'lo mi b'nos Eliezer Atzmo. So why was Avram okay with his son marrying a daughter from Canaan in the persons of Aner Eshkol Umamre, and yet not Eliezer himself? Shehuah Yitzadik Yosef, Eliezer was certainly far greater than these three families. Nira ki bibnos aner eshkobu mamre ein kol kach klala l'si shehoyu balei bris Avram. Says the morale, somehow these three families, by entering into a bris with Avram, as the Torah testified to, we read that quickly a couple in the beginning, that they had entered into a covenant with Avram, they somehow removed themselves a little bit from being cursed. The Nemar, the Avarchom Ivarchecha, they now entered into the pasuk of those who bless you will be blessed, as Hashem says to Avram. The Shayach, Behem Bracha. They're capable of being part of Bracha. Aval Eliezer, Limro Shagam Hu Hoya Misharesis Avraham, despite the fact that he served Avram day and night. And was the elder of his home, as Chazal had described earlier, knew everything, all the Torah that Avram had ever taught.
And he had a bris, right?
He had, but he hadn't been entered into a bris, and he had a bris because all servants have to be circumcised. So not as part of entering into that kind of bris. Says the morale, this part I underline, Mipnei she'ikir ha'kola sheheim avodin va'adayin os ha'kola bo shehoya eved. The Iker Kuala that he was dealing with was to be an Eved. The curse that Noach gave to Canaan was to be an Eved. The Sikach lo rotza shikach as bito. That's a little bit more of an insight. It's not just cursed can't be with blessed. He who is cursed as an Eved cannot be with my son who is blessed. And that's going to be the opening for what's going on here. What does it mean, or what's the significance of being cursed as an Eved? How does the Torah relate to this Eved, an Eved Kanani, that you are so cursed that you cannot in any way, shape, or form, even the daughter of an Eliezer, be associated with Avram Avinu? That is the issue of Eved, which I want to know. Let's see if we can work through a little bit like that. So Chazal have what to say about an Eved. They have what to say about an Eved. So let's learn one of their most powerful statement that they say about an Eved is based on the pasuk at the of a couple lessons, Parsha Vayera, by the Akedah. When Avram is on his way to sacrifice his son, so the Torah describes in number 13, by Yom HaShlishi, was the third day that Avram was traveling with his son Yitzchak up to the place where he would offer him as a sacrifice. Vayisa Avram es Einav Vayar es Hamakom Merachok. He saw the place from a distance. Now, we don't know what the place was or what did he see, but the Torah says from a distance he saw the place. Vayomer Avram el Na'arav Shvu Lachem Poim HaChamor. He then turned to his two attendants who were with him, or servants who were with him. Here, Na'arav literally would be attendants. And he said, you two stay here with the donkey, V'ani V'hanar, and I and my son, the lad, Yitzchak, Nelcha Adko, we are going to continue further, and we'll do what we need to do, and we'll come back. So that's the scene the Torah describes. Avram is walking, he sees in the distance the place, turns to his two attendants and says, you here, stay with the donkey, I'm going forward. So Chazal picked up on this, it's a little bit interesting. So say Chazal, number 14, the Medrash, Ma Ra, so what do you mean, Avram saw the place, what did he see? Ra Anan Kashur Bahar, he saw a cloud attached to the mountain, he saw the clouds of glory, the Shekhinah, attached to Har HaMoriah, and he knew that was the place where I'm supposed to sacrifice my son Yitzchak. That place over there, I see something's going on. That's the place I got to go. Omar Yitzchak Bini, he turns to his son Yitzchak, he says, my son, Roya Smashani Roya, do you see that up there in the distance? Omar Lehin, yeah, I see, there's something going up there. Omar Lishnei Na'arav, he turns to the two attendants, Royim Atem Mashani Roya, you guys see what's going on up there? You see anything funny? Amru Allah. No, see anything. Omar. Listen to the words of Chazal. Ho'il v'chamor eino roa. The donkey doesn't see. Va'atem ein atem royim. You don't see. Shvulach en po'im ha'chamor. Why don't you stay here with the donkey? That's how Chazal is written. Now, this is significant. Continues Chazal. Uminayim sheha avadim doimin libehema. From here, now let's take back to who were the two Na'arim who were with him? So Chazal say it was Eliezer and Yishmael. Says Chazal, minayim sheha avadim doimin libehema. So where do we learn that an eved is similar to a behema? Says the Gemara Mehacha. From right here, this pasuk. Shvu lachem poim hachamor, am hadoimin lechamor. Stay here with the donkey, a nation similar to donkeys.
So because Eliezer didn't see the clouds of glory, that told Abraham that he was on a lower level.
You're like the donkey. Stay here with the donkey. Okay. Okay, good. That's a good question. Put that question aside for a second. It's a good question. Now, what's interesting is that Chazal only say minayin sheha avodim. The Gemara doesn't say minayin sheha avodim and the Arabs. The Gemara just says minayin sheha avodim are doimin lebehema. So they specifically only pulled out Eliezer from the story, but that's an interesting point which needs to be addressed. What's the significance of calling him a chamor? What does that mean? I mean, it's obviously a derogatory term. But, you know, when Chazal choose derogatory terms, they do it in a way which expresses more than just, you know, we don't think very highly of you. So if they say that an Eved is doime to a behema, you are similar to a behema, you're comparable to the donkey. What's the significance of saying that? So my Rosh Hashiva, the Tzal, Chaim Yaakov Goldov, would like to explain this Chazal with another Chazal, which is a brief one brought down in number 15 of Gemara and Shabbos. We'll take a break. It's a short one-line Chazal, and we'll use that to explain what we're talking about. Amar Reb Zeira, Amar Rava Bar Zimuna. We have a statement in the Gemara in Shabbos. Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim, if the earlier generations, the previous generations, were like angels, Anu B'nei Anashim. We are like people. Now remember, these are the Amoraim talking. They're not talking about like, when they say Rishonim, they're not talking about like 600 years ago. They're talking, you know, Amoraim talking about like the previous generations who lived in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. If they were like Malachim, if they were like angels, we are mere mortals. In Rishonim B'nei Anoshim, and if you think those previous generations were mere mortals, Anu Kechamoirim, then we are like donkeys. Strange statement. Now, what are we? It's frightening. Frightening, what are we? But this is the times of the Gemara, The Amorayim are saying, if you think that you can compare us to the previous generations, if you think they were like Malachim, we're simply like people. And if you think they were just like people, we're like donkeys. What's the significance of such a chazal? What are they saying? So what they're saying is, there's a massive difference when you discuss what we call in Hebrew kamos or echos. In English we would use the words quantity or quality. Whenever you're discussing quantity, that means even though you may have much more than me, we're in the same bracket, and I could always fill that which I'm lacking. We're on the equal plane. You might be more talented than I, but we're both here. Simple example, I always like using sports as an example. You could take the best player in the NFL and the worst player in the NFL, and there's a wide gap between them, both in terms of their salary and in terms of their talent, which usually go hand in hand, but they're both in the NFL. They're both qualified on a certain level in which we made it, both of us. You might be much better than me, but I'm here too. I can't say either of that. I'm not even the same. It's not just that I'm making a lot less than them. It's not that I have less talent than them. You can't talk about my football talents in the same discussion as their football talents. It's just a different level. It's no longer a discussion in quantity. This guy is more talented than that guy. We're now talking about quality. And this is a simple thing which we do all the time in life in our simple dealings in which we quantify things based on differences simply in quantity versus quality. And what Chazal are saying is that if you want to compare the previous generations to Malachim, well then you should just know we are qualitatively different. We are learning the same Torah, but you have to understand they are on a different plane. It's not just that they understood it a little bit better than us. You have to appreciate that the previous generations were in a totally different category of understanding than we are. They were like angels, we are like simple men. And if they are like men, we are like donkeys. We don't have a clue as to the level that they were on. If you would think about it for a moment, what would it be like to be a donkey? Think about it. How would you spend your day? So it's an unfair question because you can't imagine what it's like to be a donkey because you're a human. You can't, the concept of trying to imagine what it would be like to have a donkey brain is an exercise in absurdity. The thought about it is already beyond, you can't think about being a donkey because then you couldn't think the way that you're thinking. Like what would it be like to be an angel? The same problem, just going the other direction. You can't imagine what it would be like because our experience is one of finite physical existence. That's our experience. We don't know what it means to be a soul or a malach separated from a body. It doesn't mean anything to us because we don't know what existence is like without a physical body. So Chazal is saying that disparity between an animal and a human is the way that you have to understand the difference between the previous generations and us. We don't think in the same way. We are like playing with both our hands tied behind our back because of the disparity in greatness. You want to consider them angels, that's fine. We're like humans. You want to consider them like humans, we're like animals. But the description of a chamor is to describe a qualitative difference of something which can never achieve the level of the level above it. You could put 1,000 cow brains together, you'll never have the... And you never come close to him. Let me talk about. Yeah.
Okay, you're making a very valid point. It's very well. Nevertheless, Eliezer was on an incredible trajectory.
I haven't finished. Okay. I haven't finished. I planted him there to set up where we're going with it. So now we have... When Chazal say that Avram says to Eliezer, oh, you can't see the clouds over there? Why don't you just hang out with my donkey? From here we see, say Chazal, that Avadim are like a behemoth. Avadim are in a category, a qualitative different category than a free person, a Ben-Chorin, that they're comparable to an animal, to a behemoth. Why is that? Why is it? You see they can achieve levels of greatness. Why is it? The answer to that is that an Eved Kanani, in halacha, in Jewish law, an eved kanani is what we call gufo kanoi. His entire being is acquired, is owned by his master. An eved ivri, for example, if you own a Jewish slave, you don't own the person. You own the rights to his labor. He must work for you. You have to provide for him everything, and he works for you, but there's no concept about a Jew owning a Jew. It doesn't go that way. Like if you acquire a wife. So you know that you don't own her the way that you own your property. It's a kinyan of sorts, similar to the way that you could own a Jewish wife. You don't own him, you have certain rights. He's mine and not yours. He works for me and not for you. So you marry a woman, and the acquisition that you have is just specifying who to whom that kinyan goes. An eved kanani is not like that. In Jewish law, an eved kanani is owned by its master. If you are owned by your master so that your time and your actions are totally up to the discretion of your master, well then your thoughts, your ability to be a bardas is also in some way controlled. Your ability to be a ben chorin, the concept of being a ben chorin is limited by the fact that every single thing that you do needs to work through your owner. You have no freedom to decide, to struggle, to challenge, to wish for something, to draw, to desire something. You are an eved, and therefore in your spiritual world, you're not what we call a baldover. You're not a person who has a say in the matter. Your spiritual growth is also in the hands of your owner, when, how, and if he will allow that to exert itself. You're not your own person to decide how you will make use of that time. So that even when you grow spiritually, and in the ways that you may grow spiritually, is channeled through the way that your master would like that for it to be. Because he's in total control of everything that you have. So for example, Eliezer made a very wise decision. But listen to the way that Chazal understood his decision. Number 16 is in Medrash Rabbah. It says in Mishlei, Evan Maskil Yimshol. Evan Maskil, the beginning of the Pasuk of Mishlei, Evan Maskil Yimshol, a wise Eved will rule. What does it mean a wise Eved will rule? Says the halfway through that first line, Evan Maskil Ze Eliezer. This Pasuk is referring to Eliezer was a wise Eved, a wise servant who ruled. Mahaskaloso, what was his... Where was his chachma? Why was he so wise? Omar, kfar kilaloso shaloso ish biyodo. I'm cursed. I'm going to be an eved. That was the curse that he had. Shema yovo kushi echad, or barbar echad v'yishtabidi. Maybe some wandering barbarian person will come and take me as an eved. I'm destined to be an eved. So why make myself an eved into some unrefined person? Mutably leishtabed b'vayis hazev, lo b'vayis acher. So it would be better for me to become an eved in Avram's house than in someone else's house. So that, yeah, he became great. He became great because he attached himself to Avram. It was a wise decision. You were going to be an eved either way. Is his growth because of a result of his growth in the way that we have to grow and struggle, or because he attached himself to the right person who took him there? Chazal understood Eliezer made a very wise decision. He was going to be an eved to somebody. And whomever that person would dictate where Eliezer would end up. So he said, why should I be an eved over here? I'm going to be an eved for a king. In this example, a spiritual king. So Eliezer achieved greatness. He achieved everything that Avraham had, but he achieved it through the medium Avraham as his eved. Let me read you one last maimon, and we'll go back and tie this up. The Gemara in Bava Kamma opens up with the following Mishnah. Mishnah in Bava Kamma. There are four types of nezikin, four types of ways that you can do damage. Hashur, you can do damage with an animal, with a boar, you can do damage with a pit, the hamave, which I'll leave untranslated, and a hever with fire. So the third, you can do damage, and the Mishnah then describes and discusses in the Gemara how you pay for those damages. What happens if my animal damages? What happens if I lit a fire and the fire damages? What's mave? What's that word mave? So the Gemara explains, mave is the adam. That means the person himself. You're obviously responsible for yourself if you do damage. Says the Gemara, where did the term mave come from? The chsiv in tiva'ayun bo'ayu, a pasuk that... Pasuk means that if you so desire it, then that pasuk means you'll come to do repentance, if you desire. The word's in tiva'ayun ba'ayun, to desire. The word maveh is the root of desire. So Chazal say, when I want to describe a man, a person, the word that I use to describe him is that he is the seat of desire. He has passion. He has goals. He has something that he's looking forward to, something that he's trying to achieve. And that is how I define an Adam. A Ben Chorin, somebody who is free, wants something, always. Depending on what you want will depend on where you direct your life. But you will always want something. I always have a goal that I'm working towards. Whether it be my relaxation, whether it be my spiritual growth, my economic growth, my children, a person is filled with goals. He has things that he wants out of life and that he's working towards, always. And we define a man, a Ben Chorin, by the fact that that's there with him. What do you say to a person who wants nothing in life? Not a man. Nothing? You want nothing out of this? It's like you're not living. Listen to an Amukah Yosef. Last man, Malcolm. Velotana Adam. Amukah Yosef was one of the Rishonim in the back of the Gemara in Bava Kamma says, well, why don't you just keep things simple? So what did the Mishnah do? So the Mishnah wants to describe that one of the four categories of the way that you could do damage is the person himself. So what do we do? So we said a funny word, maveh, which means, from the root, desire, so that you should know by my choosing the word maveh, I mean a person, because a person is defined by desire. So why don't you just skip all those steps and write the word Adam? Just say it to me straight. The fourth category is a person. Bezin Muka Yosef, Tehava Mina Filu Avdo Vishikhoso Mechayi. You know what you would have thought? If I wrote the word Adam, I would have thought, you're also responsible if my servant, if my Eved does damage. So therefore, Nokot Maveh. So therefore, I said the word Maveh because Maveh excludes a servant. The word Maveh, which at root means desire, excludes a servant. So that I know when I read the Mishnah and the way that I classify a person who is Chayev if he does damages is by his desire. I call him a person who has desire, I'm excluding an Eved. Because an Eved doesn't have any goals. He doesn't have a mission, he doesn't have those desires because they're not open to him. He's entirely subject to his master. If his master is a spiritual person, he will gain in spirituality. If his master is not, he won't. He's owned by his master. That, again, we don't have such a concept today because we don't have any of Avodim Kanani. But when there was a concept of an Eved Kanani, that's what an Eved Kanani was. He was a person who was excluded from the essence of what makes a free person, his drive and desire to be, to become, to achieve, to grow in any way. But you have that desire, an Eved can't have it because he has no time of his own. It's not his life. His life is owned by his master. He is a chamor in relation to a person. A chamor, a behema, Chazal called behema. Where does the word behema come from? From ba, ma. This is what it is. Ba, that, is ma, is what it is. A behema, it is what it is, what it is. What you see is what you get. You see a cow? That's all it is. It's a cow. Oh, and that cow over there? That's also a cow. That's what an animal is. Ba, ma. Where does the word Adam come from? It comes from Adama. What is that? What's the greatest quality of Adama? You plant things in the Adama, you plant things in the ground, and it sprouts forth. It creates something new. It flowers. It grows. It develops. Constantly changing. Man, you never see what, you never get what you see. It's always more than that. You see a person, there's so much going on in a human being. You look around this room, every single person here, there's a world of experience and desires and drives and goals and, I don't know. Until you're in another person's shoes, until you've lived their life, who knows? Who knows? Full of potential, ability to change and grow. Everybody in their own life, We make changes, we make decisions, things take different courses, surprises. That's an Adam. Behemoth doesn't have any of that. It's Ba-Ma. That's it. Adam is constantly evolving and changing. So an Eved, Minayin le-Eved de-Doyme le-Behemoth. Chazal understood an Eved was similar to a Behemoth because he can't have any of that. It's not open to him. It's beyond his ability to achieve, to dream about those things because he doesn't own his essence of his being. Avram says to Eliezer, you might have achieved immense spiritual growth, but the spiritual growth that you got is through me, because I am your Adon, and this is what I've given you. It's not yours, and if you would have been an Eved to somebody else, you would have been that. I mean, Eved, you made a very wise decision by coming to me, but you would have had whoever you would have ended up with, that would have been what you would have been. And you came to me, so you got what I am. Exactly. You grew a tremendous amount. But my son will never marry your daughter because you are still cursed as an Eved. And as an Eved, you are doima to a behemoth. You're just that. You will be whatever you are. You want to be my Eved? You'll be like me. Like that Eved? You'll be like him. But that's it. You can't be any more than that. And my son Yitzchak, the Jewish people, will never be attached as our bracha to that. We are not that. We are always evolving and growing and changing and dreaming and becoming. And therefore, yes, Eliezer, I told you first the three levels of whom to find a wife from. And they might even end up back in Canaan because they became part of the bris, and therefore they removed themselves a little bit from the klala. But you, my friend, as great as you became, and as high a spiritual level as you achieved, my son will never marry anyone from your family, because you are cursed as an Eved, and an Eved is just that. Doime to a behema, to a chamor, bo ma. That's it. Jewish people do not marry in to that. Adkan. Thank you for being here. Yeah.
So the question is the servitude what makes a regular man into an Eved, or is this part of the curse? It's sort of the curse.
Seems the servitude. The curse was that you are going to be an Eved.
So you free this man, you give him his freedom.
Right.
Apparently,
you become free.
Because
I'll say, if you free an Eved Kanani, beforehand he was doim le behema, the achshav da'as acheres eshwa. He has a new da'as, because he now has that ability to think, to be, and to become.
So, I mean, apparently, though, there must be some dislike to free your Eved or to
an Avera.
Set him free.
You know, I know, it's an Avera. It's not,
why do you suppose that is?
Why is there?
Is that fun? Can you carry out the call? In other words, if his daughters were so good, you think you'd marry him and set him free and they live happily ever?
Yeah, but it's not allowed to set free an Eved. You have to keep them as an Eved.
Yes,
that's the thing,
the
kind we don't relate to it very well, because especially in our liberal 21st century mind,
but they are their own
person. That was the curse of the Eved Kanani, was to be not any other type of Eved. You can't have that. You can't. But by the Eved Kanani, that's the chiddush of the nature of that relation. That's what Chazal is telling us by saying you're doim lechamor. You're not like a free person who just has to work for me. There's this nature of that relationship, which doesn't exist in the world, which is why we have trouble relating to it, is you're like a chamor.
Why didn't Eliezer enter in the
birth
like the other people?
I don't know.
You can convert, Eliezer couldn't convert.
I don't know, that relates back to the question that that Mark was asking. That it says Bo Baruch Hashem, that it seems at some point it's possible that he got out of it, but as an Eved, no. You have to work that through, though, which is...
There's one thing that bothers me, too. There's the other statement that says, you know, Yafesi Chasan Shal Ad Deyavos.
Because we learn from them.
Right, but in a sense, if you say that their common conversation is more on a high, is a higher level than our Torah, that sounds to really almost put them up on a level where when they apply themselves, they they exceed us. I mean, Eliezer, in a sense, has some great ability that even when we learn Torah, apparently it doesn't reach their sichasan. I have a hard time relating to that a little bit, but that's a pretty major compliment to give.
I mean, that's what Chazal said, that he was, Chazal complimented, they said that he was on such a level, just wasn't hit, it was an expression of Abraham's level.
Okay.
But yeah, there's lots, I mean, he was in charge of teaching all of his Torah, but it was an expression of Abraham, not an expression of Eliezer.